Welcome to the Outreach Mass. O my God, I come before you with all my restrictions and my pain. I ask you to have mercy on your servant. Be my companion in my sorrows, my hope in my anguish, and my friend in my joy. In this Outreach Mass, grant me the grace to hear your word and worship your Son at Holy Communion. Bless my neighbors. Bless those who provide the Outreach Mass. Bless the Diocese of Lansing and all who, through their prayers and support, make this televised Mass possible. We ask this through Christ our Lord. Amen. For those who are unable to receive Holy Communion today in person, let us pray a spiritual communion prayer and ask for the graces of the most holy and blessed sacrament. My Jesus, I believe that you are present in the most holy sacrament. I love you above all things, and I desire to receive you into my soul. Since I cannot at this moment receive you sacramentally, come at least spiritually into my heart. I embrace you as if you were already there and unite myself wholly to you. Never permit me to be separated from you. Amen.
All of our readings repeat an often claimed phrase that we see through scriptures of be not afraid. God's in charge. God is sovereign. God knows the future. You don't, but God does. And as the Gospels will tell you, all things work to the good for those who love the Lord. Stay close to the Lord. Let the Lord be your strength. It is a crazy world. It does make us doubt. We are confused by the violence of this world, by frightening things and war and disease and suffering of all stripes. As this weekend, as we celebrate Father's Day, we think of, you know, how parents suffer vicariously for their children and grandchildren. Undoubtedly, what affects them affects you very emotionally, very, very much a suffering that you carry within your heart for everything that afflicts them. And we can only isolate the innocent from so much. We can only protect them from so much. We always have to train them to be able to engage well the trials, the tribulations, and the sufferings of life, to help them to pick up their cross, to bring those struggling moments to the Lord, to bring it to our God who brings life out of death, who transforms the crosses of Good Friday to the resurrection and the life of Easter Sunday. We have to build on a firm foundation, and that's the key to it all. As our world secularizes, as our world loses any belief in God, it's going to struggle with anxiety because there's no safety net. At first, you know, to those who have rejected the idea of God, they're excited about that false idea of complete freedom. Because if there's no God, there's no master plan. There's no design intention. Everything's whatever you want to make it or think that it is. There's no universal truth. There's no universal right or wrong, no universal moral system to obey. Make it up as you go along. And at first, that can be very enticing, the thought of being able to define your own existence in every way, shape, and form with every subjective whim that comes down the pike. But it also comes with a miserable anxiety. Because once you take away God, well, then there are no second chances. There's no redemption. There's no divine mercy and forgiveness out there. There's no afterlife that will make everything right. Sure, you may have suffered a lot of injustices in this world, but the Lord has all eternity to make it up to you. If you don't believe in a God, that there's no second chance of that form. And so you live with a terrible, terrible existential angst that you can enjoy the moment, right? Eat, drink, and be merry. But at any moment, you could pop out of existence, and that's it. And there's nothing that can make that right. And so you live with that sort of hanging over your head. And that kind of anxiety can provoke a lot of greed. It can provoke a lot of craziness. And sometimes that might get violent. That desire to hold on to this world at all costs, that can drive a lot of nuttiness right there. As people of faith, we have a modicum of detachment from this world. We know that this world isn't the be-all, end-all. It isn't the final reality. I mean, even physics will tell you that the Earth isn't going to be around forever, right? At some point, this world will end. We know that to be true. And so we're not putting all of our eggs in this basket. We know that there is a God. So therefore, we know there is a universal truth. There's a right and wrong. Now, that comes with obligations, right? We are in a family relationship with God. We're in a covenantal relationship with God. Those family relationships have rules. They have boundaries. They have obligations. God has shown up for us. God expects us to show up and do a few things for God. As Jesus talks about giving witness to him. If you're ashamed of me in this world, I'm going to be ashamed of you before my heavenly Father. Care more about that relationship than the things you fear of this world. It doesn't come with obligations, but it comes with mercy. And it comes with a reward. It comes with a spiritual inheritance of the entire universe. It comes with a lot of second chances. And that's a beautiful thing. And so, our witness to the world, a world that is often so caught up in anxiety, is to help them to not let the anxiety win, not let the fear win. Scripture will tell you perfect love casts out all fear. It doesn't mean that we're never going to have any anxiety or any fear whatsoever. Let's face it, we're all wired a certain way, and some of us have a nervous temperament, right? But don't let the fear drive the bus. Don't let the fear control you. Don't let the fear control your decision making, or worse yet, force you to do things that you know are not right. Force you down a path that you know isn't right for you. Don't let the fear control you. That's our message to the world. And the way we kind of help them out is this. One, help them to have the right values. If all we do is value this world, right? We care about the things we value. That's what causes us anxiety, right? The things we value are the things we worry about. So as we can help our world to value the things that are eternal, that are timeless, that are transcendent, that can't be taken away from you, like your relationship with God, as we have trust and belief in the resurrection, in the life to come, in Jesus as our Savior, as we value the things that are eternal, our anxiety level will go down. Yeah, the world's going to go to rack and ruin. The world does what the world does. We pray for it. We try to be a force for the good. But at the end of the day, stuff will happen. Kingdoms will rise and fall. If we have a certain detachment from that, it will insulate us in terms of our anxieties and fears for sure. And we value the things that are eternal more than the things that are temporal that we couldn't take with us anyways. Help people to value what matters eternally, and that will change their anxiety right there. Secondly, we have to teach people and help people to learn how to surrender things. God is willing to help, but we should invite God into that. God respects our free will. God doesn't want to force his solutions on us. So it is good to practice being intentional about inviting God into our problems. That's a great way to end the day in terms of our end of day prayers. Lord, these are my issues. These are my unsolved questions. These are my problems. These are my crosses. Lord, I surrender them to you. And maybe all you do is pray in Our Father, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, and mean it. Lord, I give you permission. Change things. Remake things. Be the creator that you are. I don't have a solution for this. I'm out of options. I give it to you. The more we can get used to surrendering things in trust to God's providence, the faster things are going to happen. Because God does want to respect our free will. And so if we can be very intentional about, in our free will, accepting God's solution and inviting God's solution, things will move a little faster in our spiritual life for sure. Thirdly, a teachable moment for our world: trust in God's divine justice. God's judgment is perfect. God sees everything. God knows everything. So oftentimes we lose our cool, we lose our peace, because we want justice now. We want to see it. Somebody caused the suffering and we want to see it on their face. We want to be there when it happens, when they get theirs, their comeuppance. Leave it to God. Leave it to God. God's justice is perfect. That should scare all of us. God's justice, nothing's going to escape. Sure, they might escape human justice. Absolutely. People slip through the cracks every day. They do not slip through the cracks of divine justice. I assure you, none of us do. The beginning of all wisdom is fear of the Lord. Call mercy on them, on us. Call mercy. Be very forgiving. Remember the law of the measure. The measure with which you measure gets measured back to you. Don't worry about justice. Don't worry. Divine justice will catch up with all of us and be exacting unto the last penny. What we want to be concerned about is mercy and forgiveness, to forgive 70 times 7 and ask God for the grace to do so, to love our enemies, to pray for our persecutors, to be forgiving to a fault, to call mercy on the worst things of our world. That mercy will be shown to us in the darkest corners of our own life. Don't worry about divine justice. Divine justice finds us all in time. Worry about mercy. Pray for mercy. Call down mercy. Much better solution. It helps you to sleep much better at night, truly. One last thing. Among spiritual classics, especially, it's summer. Summer's a good time for a little extra reading, right? For summer reading, have you ever read the spiritual classic, Practicing the Presence of God? It's written by a religious a couple hundred years ago, Brother Lawrence of the Resurrection. Practicing the Presence of God is one of the easiest reads. Each little chapter is some tiny little lesson in how to look for God in your daily life. Because part of our anxiety, part of our fear, is that we feel like we're alone. And you're not alone. God is everywhere. God is sovereign. God's outside of space and time and present to all of it simultaneously. God's a singularity. God's in your past, present, and future right now. God is an eternal now. So you don't have to be lonely just because you are alone. Let your time of being alone be time to be alone with God, to be aware of God in your time alone, lest you ever be lonely. That's a good one. I wish everybody would read that. Practicing the Presence of God. So much of our anxiety is we feel like nobody's got our back, nobody's there. And if we would really cultivate that awareness that God is there and God longs for your attention, every moment that you can give God attention, God longs for that. God loves you infinitely. God longs for any little reflection of that love and care and concern. God wants to spend time with you. It will change the way you see your alone time and do so much to overcome the fear, the anxiety. That's our faith. And our world needs to see that. Our world is caught up in its freedom, but that freedom comes at a terrible price of anxiety and addiction, right? Because when is enough enough? It's never enough. I always need more. I need more. And that causes its own awful restlessness, always on the treadmill of life, trying to keep up with the Joneses, because somebody's having more fun and somebody's got better clothes and somebody's got a better car and somebody's got a better house. And so you end up spending your whole life trying to achieve the things that you can't take with you, and that's causing suffering right there. Let us value the things that are eternal. Let us value God's friendship. Let us value God's mercy. And let us come to peace through the Prince of Peace.